Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And here we go. The second episode of my foray deep into the world of YouTube. Wise choices, aptly named by my close personal friend, Tony Khan, in a 4 a.m. ranting tweet, celebrating the sunset of Strictly Business, a podcast that was, although it was in the top five consistently of podcasts out of the probably 250 that are floating around out there in the world, Tony felt that our podcast, the one I was doing with John Alba, was a fraud, and he thought it was a wise choice to sunset that fraud of a podcast called Strictly Business. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, I've been struggling. I want to do a live YouTube show where I can go on anytime I want. I don't need any guests. If we happen to have them, great. Like, we're going to have one today. Ant Evans, YouTube genius, knows the world of YouTube better than anybody that I've met so far. And I've talked to a lot of people, and we're going to be talking about, the trends for AEW on YouTube, because Dave Meltzer and his ilk are constantly defending AEW's deteriorating television audience by saying, yeah, but it doesn't really matter. It's not really a true indication of anything because fewer people are watching television. They're getting their entertainment in other ways. Well, this is true. That's not a false statement. I mean, you can read just about any trade magazine that's published talking about the television industry, and you'll find a plethora of articles detailing how fewer and fewer people are watching linear or cable television and watching other devices. So I thought, what is a good way? I mean, Nielsen's the only thing we got, right? Nielsen television ratings. That's what the entire advertising world essentially is built around. And it is an antiquated, I used to refer to it as voodoo, because if you really dig into how Nielsen works, it's kind of amazing that an entire part of our economy is based on those data points. But nonetheless, it's all we have, really. Well, it was all we had until YouTube came along. And now there's other ways. There's other data points. And we're going to look closely at them. We're going to see if the trends in television are consistent with the trends for AEW in YouTube. And I don't know enough about YouTube to really talk about it too much. And unlike others who tend to talk a lot about things they don't know anything about, I reach out and I find the right people. And we're going to dive deep into that today. But before we do that, I just want to remind everybody that we have a sponsor for this show right out of the chute, Blue Chew. Now, you've heard all about Blue Chew, and this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Man, other than what's going on in the wrestling world right now, there's nothing I'd rather talk about than sex. Guys, you remember the day when you were always ready to go? Like, if the wind changed directions, that was a sign, right? Someone was knocking on your door, so to speak. Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence that you need to better. Listen up, BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in a chewable tablet at a fraction. Yes, I said a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, and you can plan ahead. Premeditated fun is a special kind of fun. And the process is really simple, man. You go to BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA. Even Bruce Springsteen would approve that. Made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a very discreet package. Although there's nothing to be embarrassed about because we're talking about performance here, folks. And anything that you do in life, the car you drive, you want maximum performance. Your abilities on your job, you want maximum performance. You want maximum performance if you're an amateur athlete or a professional athlete. Everybody wants maximum performance. And you, yes, you can have maximum performance if you chew it and do it. Does it work? You don't think you need it? Try it for a month and see. And you could try it free right here. You're going to love it. You could be missing out on the best sex of your life and you don't even know it. Want to find out? Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Plus, try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code RESTLEBIZ. That's R-E-S-T-L-E-B-I-Z. At checkout, all you got to do is pay $5 in shipping. That's it. That's BlueChew.com, promo code WrestleBiz to receive your first month free. She's going to love it. You're going to love it. Everybody's going to love it. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank the fine folks at BlueChew for sponsoring Wise Choices. Boom. How's that for a live read? That was fun. All right. We're going to come out of the gate. Travis Midway. Hey, Eric. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Oh, I lost him. There he is. Travis Midway. Can you please tell my friend Richard to stop being a biatch? There's four of us who have been watching wrestling for 30 years together, and he's intimidated. He's not doing Mania with always intimidated. Cool use of the word. I like it. He's not doing Mania with us all this year. What the hell, Richard? Why is that? Is that because your friends who listen to 83 Weeks, remember ad-free shows, listen to all of the other great podcasts that they can hear over at adfreeshows.com, whether it's me, whether it's Tony Schiavone, whether it's Jim Ross, Arn Anderson, so many, many more, a plethora, I said, of knowledge and information that makes those people the most enlightened wrestling fans out there. Is it their knowledge, their enlightenment that makes you feel a little bit, I don't know, awkward? Don't be afraid. They'll smarten you up. Come on, join the party. You're going to have a blast. Wow, this is again, I'm just going to get rolling. I had no idea what I was going to talk about when I got here. I know that there's going to be a lot of questions coming in. Your questions are going to dictate what this show is all about. But I did want to point out one thing that I read on social media. Now, I was going to clip it and send it over to Super Dave Silva, our producer here, and post it up there so you could read along with it. But I got lazy. Actually, I got really busy. So I'm heading out of town, leaving for Vegas for 5 days tomorrow. Woo, can't wait. Then headed to Australia. So I forgot to send it over to Super Dave, but in essence, somebody asked Dave Meltzer about storylines and the problem that AEW has with storylines. And Dave's response, and I'm paraphrasing quite a bit here, so not putting words in his mouth, but his response was basically, well, the challenge is because AEW comes at you with so many stories, it's hard to keep them straight. What the fuck? Are you kidding me? No, that's not the problem. But I get it. You're looking for something to hang on to, and let's hope things are going to turn around. And it's Wednesday afternoon, roughly 2:08 p.m. here, Mountain Time. Beautiful day in Cody, Wyoming, by the way. Absolutely beautiful day. And yeah, it's early. Maybe when we see Dynamite tonight, I'm going to try to watch it. I have to get up really early. Head to Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. I love that. I'm going to get up early, but I'm going to try to watch it. And we'll see. And maybe it'll be a phenomenal show. Maybe Tony will finally learn after listening to last week's show. Perhaps Tony sat down and took notes and will learn how to format that show. Maybe string or thread a story or two throughout the episode and pay it off at the end. You may even see growth. I know it's a dirty word, right? Not supposed to talk about growth if you're an AEW fan, but you might see it. Speaking of growth and speaking of formatting, interesting quarter hours coming on SmackDown last Friday night. Pretty much stable from beginning to end, which is really hard to do on a Friday night, especially at that hour. Really hard to do in prime time. But nonetheless, SmackDown looked pretty even across the boards until the final segment and actually outperformed the opening segment. That's the idea that you're really trying to accomplish with a great format, is build or hopefully hold your audience and increase it by the end of the show. That's how it's supposed to be done. All right, we got any other questions here? I want to get right into them, and then we're going to bring in Ant Evans, the YouTube genius, and we're going to talk about trends in YouTube, maybe as a whole, and perhaps even about this show. That would be kind of fun. You know, we've been doing more YouTube stuff here over the last month or so, so it would be interesting to talk about what's happened to the 83weeks.com YouTube channel and the kind of growth that we've experienced, because I haven't looked at that, and numbers fascinate me. I love it. All right. Wall rods. Did I get that right? Because you guys jump in here with these super chats and I'm so appreciative of it. I love the engagement. I love that you care enough. You want to jump right up to the front of the line and get your questions answered. And that's what this show is all about, man. It's about your comments, your questions, and my crazy bullshit. So here we go. Wall rods. How do you get over the breakup of a woman you were really into and turn it into a positive? She was Australian. She had a great voice. Oh, Walrod, I feel you, Walrads. I feel your pain, brother. I can't say that's ever happened to me. I've typically been on the other end of that equation, and that's not necessarily a good thing. You wouldn't want to take relationship advice from me, with the exception of my 40-year marriage to my wife, Lori. I call her Mrs. B. And we can talk about that. But my relationships prior to Mrs. B, not something I would want to share on, not something that I would want to see anybody go through. Certainly wouldn't share advice, because I was immature. Let's put it that way. Very immature. And I don't know. I love to explore. Put two and two together. You can figure it out. So, Walrads, even though I appreciate your super chat so much, and even though truly I would really love to reach out and maybe give you some little pearls of wisdom that might help you along, because I know I'm not making jokes. I know this is it's a tough time. You'll get over it. Trust me. You'll get over it. And you'll look back. And you'll remember things about this relationship that you really liked. And you'll probably find some of those same things in whoever you meet down the road. And maybe you'll find some other things that are even more pleasurable. Maybe something you value even more. So hang in there, man. Hang in there. That's all I got to say. You know what you could do, Walrads, is reach out to Lori Bischoff, life coach, Mrs. B. You can find her. Everybody knows how to find her. They'll help you out. She can walk you through that and probably really help you. I, on the other hand, would steer you in the wrong direction. You would find yourself somewhere in Las Vegas doing things that you would regret later. There we go. What else do we got? Ed Rock. Thank you, brother, for a super chat. We love you for that. I love you for that. Maybe Tony needs a little blue chew in his life. I don't know that that's Tony's problem. Tony just needs help with creative, not to try to have fun at his expense. It's not what I'm here for. Well, kind of. But yeah, that's not his problem. Creative is, consistency is. Maybe a vision would help. If you believe anything that CM Punk had to say, and if you guys want to talk about that CM Punk interview, I'm happy to talk about that as well. We covered a little bit on 83 weeks, but there's a lot there to dive into. But yeah, Tony just needs a little help on the creative side, not so much on the social side. At least that's what I think. Eric Lasher. AEW went too big, too fast. 3 weekly shows already. That's a very good point. I pointed it out early on. Don't spread yourself too thin until you've got a really strong foundation underneath you. And then once you've worked out the bugs, once you've been through the learning curve, you've stubbed your toes, you've fallen on your face, you've gone through all that, which everybody goes through, by the way. Everybody's going to go through that. You're going to learn on the job no matter how much experience you've had, because there's always things that happen that you couldn't anticipate, didn't anticipate, and you can't read this shit in a book. That's the hard part about this. There's no formula. It's not easy. It's hard. There's no question about it. It's an art form. Sounds like management should have been nailed down in a good working order before adding shows. That is true. Too much to take in with a young company cluster. I find no lies detected in your perspective whatsoever, Eric Lasher. No lies there whatsoever. So let's talk a little bit more about, hey, do we have any questions from last week? I want to make sure if there was any lingering questions that I didn't answer, that I don't leave people hanging, because I take care of the people here that decide to super chat. My buddies, my pals, and Uncle Stevie's World says, we need Dustin back for Mania. What are the chances? That came up. You know, Conrad and I were doing 83 weeks yesterday, and that subject came up. Conrad asked me, do I think it's even possible? I don't know if it really is or not, but I put it out there into the universe. I suggested that perhaps Tony, if he could feel these vibes and they manifest all the way to Jacksonville or wherever Tony is today, that Tony opens his eyes and says, you know what? I need to restore some goodwill within the wrestling community, because I've kind of been making an ass of myself quite a bit over the last 6 or 8 months, but that doesn't mean you can't reclaim some of that goodwill. And I think one of the ways that Tony Khan, and I'm dead serious about this, could really establish some honest goodwill, some valuable goodwill, is by giving Dustin a call and say, hey, Dustin, even if Dustin hasn't asked, say, hey, Dustin, I know your brother Cody's biggest moment is life. Your mother's going to be there. Your sisters are going to be there more than likely. This is an important thing. This potentially is the fulfillment of a Rhodes family dream that started with Dusty. This is life. And I'm hoping that Tony picks up that phone and says, Dustin, after thinking about all that, even though you didn't ask, assuming Dustin hasn't asked, even though Dustin hasn't asked, Tony should encourage, hell, send him a private jet. You really want some goodwill, Tony? You fly around in that thing all the time. Give it a night off. Give it to Dustin. Let him fly in a private jet and let him just be there at ringside. He doesn't have to get no physical contact, no promos, no angle. Just let the man share the moment with his brother. Hell, I'd even quit pointing out flaws for, I don't know, week, maybe two. If you throw in the jet, I'll give you an entire month off. That's it. Entire month off. On Wise Choices, we'll be talking about a lot of other things, because there's a lot of other things to talk about. But if you want 1 month off, Tony, or I don't bang on you for anything, you could even say stupid shit on social media. I don't care. I'll leave it alone. You have 30 days, free ride. All you got to do is let Dustin have the jet. Let him fly Philadelphia, be there at ringside, and then fly home. And think of all the goodwill. You can put it in the bank. People will be talking about what a great guy Tony Khan is. Even I'll be talking about what a great guy Tony Khan is. Hell, I'll put you over like a mucker feather. Not a problem. All right, we got anything else hanging there? Bruce Collins, is the lack of profit motive as motivation a reason Tony does a lackluster job at leadership? When you have to make a buck to survive, the motivation is there. Again, I don't think, I mean, these are separate issues. I truly, honestly believe that Tony's primary issue is creative. It's like, well, recent example, big press release, brought in a new chief operating officer. I'm going to screw his name up, and I don't want to do that because that's disrespectful. I'll figure it out, remember it after this. But a new COO, and to come in and oversee all these different areas of the business. And I think that was a smart move, because the more top-level executive talent you can find to surround yourself with to maximize all of the opportunities, all of the ancillary revenue streams that go to help support the bottom line, the more you have of that, absolutely the better. But it's not going to solve Tony's problem. It's like, I don't know, taking your car to a mechanic and you've got a blown crankshaft, which is the primary mechanism inside of a engine, piston-driven engine. You've got a blown-out crankshaft that's going to cost you $6,000 to replace. But rather than do that, because you just don't want to do that, you're going to get new tires. And while I'm at it, I'm going to, I don't know, I think a paint job would be nice too, because the color isn't quite right. I'm going to do that. And some new wheels. I'm going to get new wheels because I can afford new wheels. And that'll make everything better. No, it won't. You'll still have a busted crankshaft. So while I applaud Tony for adding high quality talent to the team, because it's absolutely necessary, especially if you're ever going to grow, that's really necessary. But that's not the main issue. And I don't think it's motivation that's lacking there at all. I think it's just a vision. A vision of what the business is. What is wrestling? It's a scripted form of predominantly male, 25 to 54, for the most part. It's a soap opera. It's an action. It's live action. It's not a sport. I know people are going to hate hearing it. It's not a freaking sport. It's live action programming. It's testosterone driven. Primarily, not only, there's some estrogen in there. Women's division is awesome. Becky and Rhea looking forward to that big time. But fundamentally, it's a male dominated when it comes to the audience, not by much, but it is live action soap opera. And once you see it for what it is, not for what you thought it was when you were 14, not even for what you really like the most now that you're a grown adult, if you happen to like just amazing, athletic, high-flying, fast-paced action just for the fun of it, with really no rhyme or reason, no story really behind it. There's an excuse for the match, which Dave Meltzer evidently considers a story. But you've got to figure out what the business really is, how it really functions, what your goals are, and then shape your product to the audience, not for your 14-year-old fantasy. All right.
Looking for a great Mother's Day or Father's Day gift idea? I was, and I found it at Paint Your Life. With Paint Your Life, you'll get a hand-painted portrait created to fit almost any budget, and it's a great gift idea for your mother, your father, or both. You see, Paint Your Life transforms your photos into a one-of-a-kind, beautiful hand-painted portrait created by professional artists. You upload anything you can imagine. You can even combine photos. You'll pick the artist, the medium. You can even customize the frame. And you can receive your painting in as little as 2 weeks. You can give the most meaningful gift you've ever given at PaintYourLife.com. And there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded guaranteed. And right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, just text the word WEEKS to 87204. That's WEEKS to 87204. Text WEEKS to 87204. Paint Your Life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Message and data rates may apply. See paintyourlife.com/terms for details. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Any more leftovers hanging around there? Because we want to get to them. And then I want to bring in Ants, and we're going to talk about, oh, we've got another one. Corey King. Corey King, my man. That's a cool name. That's like Corey King. Like, it's like an actor's name. Or can you imagine being a quarterback in the NFL with a name like Corey King? The merchandise sales would be off the charts because that's just such a, that's a cool name. Would you rather be stranded on a desert island with TK, Russo, or Cornette? All right, I'm going to take back everything I said about how cool your name was, Corey. That's a tough one, man. This, I'm actually having just a little bit of angst even thinking about that scenario. But I would say Cornette. Because while Cornette and I have differences of opinions on a lot of things, and I think he hates my guts, but I'm not sure, I still find him fascinating. I find him interesting and entertaining. He's, I mean, he is really a man can talk. And he's smart. I don't agree. Like I said, I don't agree with everything he says. We have decidedly different views on some pretty important aspects of what the wrestling business is and really what it has been over the last 20 years or more. But Cornette is really smart. I have a lot of respect for him because of where he's been, because he is a smart guy, and he entertains the hell out of me. So, yeah, I'm going Cornette. I'm going Cornette. All right, let's talk about some growth. I want to talk about growth, and we'll get back to some questions when we're done. But Ant Evans is a gentleman that I've recently come to know, really over the last couple of months, became part of the family, so to speak, of bright people that are here, along with Super Dave Silva and a whole bunch more, Evan Polisher over at Ad Free Shows, an entire team of people, really, that helped bring all of Conrad's properties kind of together and maximize those opportunities. And the one area that we weren't really maximizing and weren't experiencing growth in, and you know how I feel about growth. If you're not growing, you're dying. That's just a fact of life in the entertainment business. But because we weren't really hitting on all cylinders in YouTube, Conrad did a little digging, a little snooping, looked under a couple, I was going to say rocks, but that doesn't do Ant any good from a vision point of view or perception. But he found Ant Evans, a genius, the guy who helped build, if not built, the UFC YouTube channel. So the man knows from where he speaks. Ant Evans, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing? What a welcome. Super Dave, clip that bit out. That introduction, I need that. I need that for my Twitter. Thank you.
Well, I'm free, brother. You need an intro. I'll give you an intro.
That was amazing. Thank you.
We tried to do this last week, but we had some technical issues, and Ant and Super Dave Silva got on before the show just to make sure that we didn't have those issues again. So, Ant, you know, I mean, you heard me talking about it. If you've been following me at all, and on 83 weeks or social media for a couple of years now, about 2.5 years, I've really been banging the drum about the lack of growth in the AEW television product. And as I said, opening this up, the show up, there's reasons for it, legitimate reasons as it pertains to the deterioration of the television audience overall, whether it be linear network or cable. So that is a fact. My point is, though, there are other data points. There's other ways to determine, I guess, if there are trends in terms of any properties, whether it's WWE, this show, AEW, whatever it is. There are ways to really, in real time almost, monitor growth or lack thereof. So give us a little bit of background. First on you, where'd you come from? Why are we here?
So I'm a lifelong wrestling fan, but I went into combat sports, boxing. I worked for the Ultimate Fighting Championship for almost 15 years. I worked with Impact, now TNA, for a few years after the UFC. And it was actually just before my time with TNA where I realized that YouTube especially, and also to a lesser extent Facebook, are not social media. This idea that it's social media and YouTube is the thing that promotes your business, it's wrong. It is dead wrong. That is dinosaur thinking. That's 2010 thinking. What YouTube is a revenue stream. Now, it's a revenue stream that has the benefits of also being able to maximize your other revenue streams, like your merchandise, pushing to pay-per-views. But it is a revenue stream. It's a real revenue stream. And it should be a massive revenue stream for your friend Tony Khan. But right now, they're dropping the ball. And you alluded to it on Sunday. In the last 6 months since, basically almost the day that CM Punk walked out the door, AEW has gone like that. They plummeted like a suicidal lemming on YouTube.
What about compared to, if you look at AEW's YouTube business, and I realize Punk coming in, very controversial mm-hmm. guy, he's been off TV yeah. for 7 years. I mean, there was a lot of reasons why you could expect an initial crush of interest and flow of traffic when someone like Punk comes in. But where do you have any data on where roughly AEW was at prior to Punk and where it's at today?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you give me a big buildup as an expert, but no one has to take my opinion here. They don't have to take anything I'm saying as given. You're telling them I'm a YouTube expert, but they know who they know as a YouTube expert is Mr. Beast, the biggest YouTube star of all time. The guy who makes hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars just on AdSense alone, which is the primary source of income for YouTubers. He has a new website that's simply called View Stats. It is better than it's basically the Nelsons of YouTube. It's called viewstats.com. An alternative to that is called Social Blade, but Mr. Beast's site, I've been using it consistently since Christmas when it launched. That gives you a very, very good indication of how well any channel is. So anybody who's watching in the chat, you know, the 900 people we've got so far and the tens of thousands who will eventually watch this, you can go to viewstats.com, type in AEW, and it will give you a very close approximation of how well, and as the case has been more recently, how poorly AEW has been doing. But to answer your question, Eric, AEW was going like this. It was growing, but of course it was growing because it was a new YouTube channel. So of course they started at zero about 5 years ago when they launched, and it's been growing like that. The growth has slowed down in terms of subscribers, and the views have just halved. I mean, they've just absolutely fallen off a cliff. Super Dave's got a screen grab I sent him earlier. If you could use a screen grab one, Dave, that will show it just like that. I mean, look at that dip. Now, ignore the far extreme where you see that great big dip, Eric. That is the yesterday, essentially, where the stats weren't fully processed. So ignore that dip. That's not a real dip. This time tomorrow, that dip won't exist. But see that huge spike there when the CM Punk stuff was all going down and we had the Wembley show? And yep. Look at the decline. It hasn't recovered. It's 6 months and it hasn't even close. Those two little blips, one of those when it goes up, that is the Sting retirement, which, you know, I know you might have a different opinion. A lot of people enjoyed.
Sure.
But look, it's flat. It's flat as a kipper's dick. It is flat for 6 months. And you're talking about growth. This is, they've got to recover from this somehow.
And I mean, any reasons for it? I mean, other than, I mean, there could probably be a million, right? But
yeah,
if you had to pick one suggestion that you would make to Tony Khan or whoever runs their YouTube, I doubt Tony does it. But yeah, if you could point out one thing that they could improve upon to grow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know everybody, you guys think I hate AEW. I don't hate it. I want mm-hmm. to see it grow. And this is an opportunity here for us to make a wise choice. I love that. And identify for free, no charge, mm-hmm. one way that AEW can improve upon their YouTube traffic. What would it be?
Well, it's obviously you've got to see it holistically. You know, attendance is down. You know, me and my son went to the show here in Vegas. It was actually in Henderson, which is the little town next to Vegas. And we were like two dice rattling around a saucepan. There was basically us and 400 people there. I felt so bad for the wrestlers. And you've seen the decline in ratings. So you've got to take it. There is no question that the overall AEW product is not hot right now. That, I mean, anyone who's going to tell you the opposite simply isn't looking at the data. YouTube specifically, the great thing about pro wrestling, it has an advantage over most sports, is the rewatchability. I can rewatch WrestleMania 10 and still get a kick out of it. I can rewatch, you know, the NWO, you know, Scott Hall coming through the crowd and still get a buzz out of it. They've got already, just this many few years into their existence, they've already got a great archive of great wrestling. That's what AEW, you know, CM Punk told my friend Ariel Helwani on Monday. It's kind of about great wrestling. They need to cut those up into the top 10 AEW matches of all time. If that's what you're about, Tony, if your company is based on having great matches, then show us your top 10 great matches. Do a live stream with the guys in the chat. It's just like our chat right now. Have your guys in the chat talking about the matches. You know, this is what you're known for. You want to be, you're the great match company. Well, show us. Do a top 100.
That would be fun to watch. And I think viewers would also really love to hear it, especially if one, or perhaps in an ideal situation, you have both of the people involved in that match sitting down and talking about the match, the preparation, the psychology, you know, the timing. What would they have liked to have done that they didn't do? What did they do that they wish they didn't do?
Yes.
How could have been improved? And highlight the things that worked and talk about those things. That kind of insight would really, it would be interesting to me. And it would help build the characters as well. Because now they're connecting to the audience almost like buddies, right? Because you're sitting there listening to guys having a conversation, almost like you're at the table next to them in a restaurant. You get to hear it.
Yeah.
That would be good. That would be funny.
That would be great.
They've got the talent to do it, right?
They've got the talent and the connection. So YouTube is not television. What YouTube, you know, when I remember talking to you for the first time, it's like, you were like, really? The fans are just going to throw a couple of bucks to talk to me? I'm like, yes, Eric, you know, they grew up watching you, most of these guys, you know, even if it's just saying, here's a couple of bucks, go get a Starbucks. Not that a couple of bucks buy for Starbucks. And people want to do it.
Yeah, or if somebody wants to throw a couple bucks up and say, hey, go screw yourself, Bischoff. That's cool too, and I'll read it.
That's cool too. Care. Yeah.
Big skin.
This yeah. Is and it. And it's not television right now. AEW, and not just AEW, you know, a lot of other big companies, including my old friends at the UFC, they're using YouTube still as this social media to promote whatever it is they're selling, rather than a revenue stream itself. TNA, I was with them for, you know, now it's called TNA, it was Impact when I was there. We turned that into a seven-figure revenue stream. Now, AEW right now is probably making between $1.5 and $3 million a year on YouTube. They should be making $8 million on YouTube a year.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
That's real revenue. I mean, I don't know how many Sasha Banks that buys you, but...
Half of one. You could get one half of her.
Right.
And maybe she would show up half the time. Either way, however you did the math. But yeah. I mean, I'm making a joke out of it because I'm trying to have fun with people here and enjoy myself. But that's serious revenue, folks.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a company that's struggling to make revenue. We just saw the recent cuts in the roster, and I think this is probably way overdue. I think the roster got too big too fast for no apparent reason, and it was time to adjust. So I applaud Tony for making a good business decision, which apparently that was. But if, you know, this is how it works, Tony. It's a wise choice. I love this. Wise choice to cut that roster, but a wiser choice to increase your revenue at the same time. And this is a no-brainer. You've got the talent. You've got the content. Matches are sitting digitized somewhere. You could pull them up, and the guys would probably have fun doing it, especially if they get to interact with the audience like we're doing here, because it is fun, and it's... That's what makes this thing so much fun. But there, you just put $5 million approximately, probably $3 to $5 million into the AEW right on top of that bottom line.
Yeah. And like, you know, I mentioned TNA, like, so the four times last year, TNA was doing better on YouTube in terms of money and views. Like TNA, I love that company. I mean, you know, what they did to my friend Scott DeMore was gross. And, the guy they got in charge now, Alan Schirner, I think is going to take them like the Titanic straight into an iceberg. But four times last year, TNA was ahead of AEW. That's with AEW's roster and with, you know, with 10 times as many people watching them on TV every week, that should not happen. I mean, do you know what happened on March the 3rd, Eric?
No, I don't.
Well, on March the 3rd, your channel, this very channel, 83 weeks, the best podcast in pro wrestling, you had 60% of the total views as AEW did.
Whoa, wait a minute, say that again. Not because I didn't understand it, but because I just want to hear that shit again.
I will say as many times on March the 3rd, 2024. Look at your face, you're so happy.
I'm just so happy to hear this.
This channel had 60% of the traffic AEW did. That was when you did your first ever live on this channel.
Wow.
And that traffic for the next week, you were about a quarter of what they're doing. With all due respect, how great you are and how great I think this channel is, the number two promotion in the world should not be, you know, anywhere near the stratosphere of podcasts, no matter how great that podcast is. But that shows how badly they're dropping the ball.
And I would assume it's just, and this is where I do have some empathy for Tony, because I'm guessing he's probably overwhelmed and getting it from all directions and being pulled in a lot of different directions. And I'm not sure, based on what I've heard, not what I know, it's rumor and innuendo, so probably only half of it true. But Tony is not the most focused person. And I would assume that YouTube is probably just not high on his priority. Maybe I think his name is Mr. Urbe, if I got his name right. Kobe Urbe or Koshi Urbe or something. Again, I apologize, Mr. Urbe. I don't want to fuck up your name. But perhaps that'll change with this new chief operating officer who's there to oversee and help generate some new and improved ancillary revenue.
Yeah, you run it WCW. You hire people who do know, and you give them all. That I worked with Dana White for 15 years. Dana White is about one of the smartest, most driven guys I've ever seen. But he would hire experts and let them go be experts. He would want to know, but you would have to be an expert with he'll let you apply your expertise is what I'm trying to say. He'd let you apply your expertise.
And that's the way Ted Turner was, you know, real visionaries that I've ever been exposed to. And Ted being one of them, they're really good at identifying the right people, giving them the autonomy, the authority, and the support to succeed or fail. You're betting that when you hire someone, you're betting on yourself that you made a wise decision. Yeah. But once you make that decision, let them go. Give them the freedom to fail, because not everybody's going to do everything right. You're going to make mistakes. You can't be in business for any length of time and not make mistakes. And mistakes are not a problem. Repeating mistakes are, but making mistakes is not an issue. But you're right, man. Let them... You don't want to micromanage, you want to macromanage.
Correct.
And if it's not working out, find somebody else. But you've got to let people do what they're good at. And I've been pounding on that drum for a while with Tony when it comes to creative. Because I think one of Tony's issues is that in his mind, he really wants to be Paul Heyman. He wants to have that Paul Heyman type of legacy. Yeah. He wants to have the Vince McMahon legacy, the Paul Levesque legacy, probably deep down inside, even that Eric Bischoff, WCW in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants to be recognized as someone that did something really big in professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. But if you really want to get there, find the right people to help you do it and quit holding on to creative because you think you know. Because you don't, and you don't know how to produce television. Okay, you made him $5 million. I'm giving him some professional advice. I think we've done a great job for AEW.
Can I ask you a question, Eric?
Can I ask?
So when CM Punk was on Ariel's show, he said, you know, the big quote. I know you talked about it last night on a video. I think it's got 150,000 views already. Tony Khan's not a boss. And I know exactly where I'm because I work for Dana White. And when Dana White walks in the room, there's a change of energy. I've heard people say that about Vince McMahon. You know, you just know that. I've heard people say it about you in your WCW days, you know, like maybe the jokes kind of stop a little bit. How can you, like managing these guys' egos, you know, some of the biggest, strongest, most athletic alpha males in the world, pro wrestlers. How, And it's not about being a big, tough guy. It's not about that. Can Tony Khan project that presence so people take him seriously? And he can be, in Punk's words, a boss.
Sure, he can. But you have to choose to. You have to make that decision. And then just like anything else, whether it's a diet or you're working out, you want to run a marathon, you have to train, you have to get there, you have to be consistent in the way you approach your life. If he makes that decision, of course he could. It's not that well. It is difficult for some people because it's a mental thing. And I think with someone like Tony, because Tony's actually in worse shape now than he was the day he started, meaning because he kind of blew the goodwill by the way he approached the business by, you know, coming out right away and taking shots at Vince McMahon and WWE and all of his top talent were doing it, predicting how long it was going to be before AEW outperformed Monday Night Raw, for example. But what he did is he created that division with the audience because there's one wrestling audience. There's not an AEW audience and a WWE audience. There may be some, but it's so minor that it doesn't matter. There's one audience there. And if you're going to pick a fight and you're going to come out of the chute swinging, you better be ready to fight. You better be willing to get in the ring. Well, AEW doesn't want to go head-to-head. And I understand that. I'm not encouraging him to do it. But if you're not going to go head-to-head, quit taking shots at the incumbent, the 800-pound gorilla, when you just showed up and you're not even willing to get in the ring. And by continuing to do that for such a long time and kind of going off on social media and some of the other kind of things that Tony did, he's burned through that goodwill. And because he has, he's got to work twice as hard, three times as hard as he did when he started to overcome that 12 months of kind of negative feedback and reaction to some of the things he did. But now that he has, sure. First of all, take yourself off camera, quit doing these press conferences because you don't project strength or confidence. That's you can't fix that. Some people feel comfortable on camera. Some people don't. I don't know how Tony feels, but he comes off as being very, very awkward. So recognize that, decide you're going to change it, have a spokesperson. That kind of distances you from it too, because it kind of puts you above the fray when you don't get into the tougher conversations and bitch fests on social media and things like that. Have a spokesperson do it for you. Kind of elevates you just by having a spokesperson.
Right.
And somebody that's really good at doing it. But when a situation comes up, make a decision, be firm about it, communicate it clearly, and never back down. I made that mistake a few times. And I'm sharing this because I learned the hard way, just like Tony's learning the hard way. Tony came out early on and said, "We're not going to make the same mistakes WCW did." Well, actually, you're making more of them, and you're making them in multiples of three.
And without the success.
Without any success, actually. But there's Wembley. Oh, my gosh, Wembley. Bischoff, you never did Wembley. You never did that. I know. I just made millions of dollars. I'm sorry. But I think making firm decisions, sticking to them, consistency, and distancing yourself from the talent, been there, done that, made that mistake, Tony, distancing yourself from the talent and finding somebody to represent you that is firm, clear, strong, and not kind of repelling from just a telegenic perspective.
Right.
I don't see it, though. I don't see if your motivation is to be loved and to be liked, you should never be a boss. Then you should really distance yourself. Because wrestling is no different, really. It's no different than any other. I worked in corporations, well, one in particular, even in Turner. You've got the WWE were the two corporate environments that I worked in. It's just as political as a wrestling locker room. It's just not as obvious because they're more sophisticated, right? They're just better at politics.
Yeah.
And human nature, in my experience, especially professionally, people take the path of least resistance. So if you're a talent and you know you can push the envelope with your boss and you can get your way and you can make your boss decide he's going to do what you want to do instead of what he wanted to do. That's not even a compromise. That's just like throwing in the towel. But if you've gained that reputation, which I think Tony perhaps may have by this point, then you've really got to make a hard decision to distance yourself. Don't allow that shit to happen. If somebody pushes back, fire them. Fuck, you got enough people, Tony. You can let a grenade go off in a room and you're still going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no shortage of top talent and very talented people that are not top talent. Some great young talent there and veterans. But if you've got somebody that's pushing back on you, I don't want to say it this way, but there's no other way to say it. Make an example out of them. Let everybody know that if you don't want to play by the rules, you don't understand if you're a talent that your job is to execute the vision of the person who's paying you. And if there's something about that vision that you don't like or you don't want to do, it's okay to have that conversation if you've got a better idea. But even if you have that better idea and you've been given the opportunity to communicate that better idea, should the decision of your employer be that he's going to or she will stick to the original plan, then suck it up, be a pro, and go out and do it the best you fucking can.
Yeah.
That's what a professional wrestler is. Mm-hmm. Not a professional egomaniac, which is, oh, I don't like this. I don't want to do that. That's not good. Oh, it's not good for my character. Half the time, Muckerfellers don't have a character that matters anyway.
Yeah.
A change would do you good.
Yeah. Is it possible for anyone running a wrestling business because the whole idea is for them to love the brand. I mean, it just shouldn't really matter what people think of Tony Khan. It shouldn't really matter what people think of Triple H. It's do they love the product or not? That's what you need fans to do. Do you think Tony is trying to? Because I remember Tony Khan 20 years ago posting on a AOL fan chat that I was on. I remember when he.
Tell me about this. This is a story.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like 20, maybe even longer ago, like very early America Online fan chat. Tony Khan was always in, you know, talking about, you know, Monday Night Raw, or it might even been Nitro, might have been late 90s. I remember the name. And then years later, he was still on. Someone mentioned, oh, you know, your dad owns the Falcons or something. And then when AEW came around, I heard his name. I was like, I know him. In fact, actually, Scott D'Amore told me when they did that AEW Impact crossover when Kenny Omega came over. Tony knew someone who worked at TNA purely from this message board and was like, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you post on the message board for years. So Tony's like, you know, he's legit, you know, fanboy. But I just wonder if you can be that much of a fanboy and still be a boss.
And have a vision.
Yeah.
Because he kind of books like a fanboy. It's been one of my biggest criticisms. It's fantasy booking for the internet wrestling audience. Real quick before we let you go, because I got to wrap this up. I got to go get upstairs and pack and go. I'm going to go play in Vegas for about 5 days.
I know. You're going to be in my neighborhood. I don't live under a rock, but I do live near the Vegas mountains. Oh.
So we should get together.
We should get together.
We've never met in person. Maybe find some sushi somewhere.
Sounds good. I know plenty of places. Been here 12 years.
All right. We'll do that. But before we go, one more quick one. What's happening with WWE's YouTube channel? It's got to be
crushing.
It's got to be crushing.
Yeah, they just crossed 100 million subscribers. When I talk to clients, I'll say, okay, things like, you know, you don't want any videos under 8 minutes unless they're shorts, which are for anybody who doesn't know, are the short, literally the short 59 seconds or less vertical videos that are for quick consumption while you're scrolling fast. But you shouldn't other than shorts, you shouldn't have videos that are 8 minutes or under 8 minutes, because you get paid out at 33% less than you would if it was 1 second longer and it was 8 minutes.
Screw that. Who wants that?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants that. But I'll tell that to clients. They'll go, yeah, but I've seen Joe Rogan. Usually it's Joe Rogan. Well, I've seen Joe Rogan videos for less than that. I'm like, yeah, Joe Rogan's making hundreds of millions of dollars. He probably doesn't care about making an extra 10, 20, 30,000 a month. you probably won't even go to the back of the couch to get 30 grand at this point. You're not in that position. So WWE is doing a lot of things that are not best practices, but it's such a juggernaut. It just overwhelms the algorithm. I mean, I think they post too much. I think that they're posting at strange times. I dare say they've got a massive Indian audience, which you don't want, because that drives down your revenue per milli, how much money you make per 1,000 views. And the reason that this happened when I was at Impact, I had to cut off a lot of the Indian audience every second video. And the reason for that, you'll get a kick out of that, and I was thinking of this when you were doing the Bluetooth read. In India, they're draconian on pornography, that you can't have access to pornography. So in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, places like that who have draconian anti-porn laws, how can I put it? They watch a lot of women's pro wrestling. And so what happens then is the algorithm will continue to show more and more of your female wrestling content to India, which will start. And then your core audience moves from Manhattan to Mumbai. And even though you're getting millions of views, you're only getting hundreds of dollars for millions of views rather than tens and tens of thousands of dollars for millions of views. But WWE, their channel is so big. They've got so much amazing content. They've got so many people into the product. They can do literally everything wrong and still have a blizzard of banknotes every Monday morning.
Do you see YouTube grow? I mean, is it continuing to grow as a platform? Is there anybody competing with YouTube? Is there anybody on the horizon that may?
No. You've got Rumble, which is trying to, but they are basically taking the Wraiths and Strays away from YouTube. If you get demonetized for YouTube for posting crazy stuff, you go to Rumble, and then you'll make a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. I mean, you know, the number two search engine in the world is YouTube. Because people are like, how do I change a tire? Everyone uses YouTube. I couldn't program the sat nav on my new car, so I went to YouTube. I got a great big book like that. Am I going to read that? No, I'm going to go to YouTube. And so it's the second biggest search engine in the world. And the biggest search engine in the world is this company called Google that owns YouTube. You know, so anyone who's asking for information from the internet basically is going to YouTube or YouTube's dad. And so it's just going to continue to grow. And there's more and more revenue streams coming on. We've got a great membership on this channel. Hit the link in the description below. Become a member. You can do pay-per-views. I don't know why Tony Khan is – I mean, I know he's got a contract with Turner's Old Network, and they have to go on BR.com. But that thing keeps falling down. They can't continue to operate on Bleacher Report. They can't keep shagging their fans over like this. With you buy your pay-per-view and it falls over, then you spend 50. You can't keep doing that. Tony or someone is going to say, "Hey, we're going to put the pay-per-views on YouTube because they've got a built-in audience on YouTube. Put your pay-per-view on YouTube." TNA has done that now for the past 3 years. We were the first wrestling.
Let me ask you a question. I keep saying we're going to wrap this up, but I keep getting more and more questions because you're a fascinating dude. But when the rumor of TNA first started surfacing, and it was suggested that perhaps Turner would be a home for it. Somebody asked me, I don't know if it was while I was doing 83 weeks or my previous podcast, but somebody asked me, "Hey, what do you think about, you know, AEW on television?" Now, I have admitted multiple times that I'm just really not in tune with digital streaming, YouTube. I'm learning a lot from you. I learned a lot just this afternoon talking to you. But one of the things I said was, you know, if I were Tony, I would be putting all of my resources, whatever they are, into developing my own platform or working on YouTube. Do you think, with all the money that Tony has spent, do you think a scenario where he would have started out on YouTube and grew his audience on YouTube instead of growing his audience on television, do you think that would have even been a realistic strategy?
I think not for AEW because it depends how much money he's actually getting from TNT, right? You know, Because YouTube should be a second another revenue stream. You shouldn't replace one revenue stream with another when you can have both. So if you can get a great TV contract and do YouTube, do it. You absolutely don't cannibalize one for the other. I do think when he bought Ring of Honor, because Impact was interested in buying at least, I took a look at the library, the Ring of Honor library, to see if we can incorporate, because we're doing so well on YouTube at the time. Scott DeMore goes, how much would we pay for the Ring of Honor library? I was like, well, are you going to do an invasion angle? You're going to do that? He goes, maybe, because probably not run it as a separate business, but what's the library worth? So we came up with a figure, but as we were deliberating, Tony Khan opened the checkbook and bought it. Ring of Honor should absolutely just be a YouTube only product. Absolutely.
Television platform to promote it.
Correct. AEW, it's an interesting question. I mean, look, could it have been AEW being, I mean, are you really going to pay Christian Cage, you know, $750,000 a year, you know, and all the other guys who are on crazy, crazy, crazy money like that for a YouTube channel? It'd be bold. It would be very bold. What tends to happen when people have tried that, there's a couple of MMA promotions have done that, is they then buy views, and you never do that. Because it teaches the algorithm that the bots that you bought to watch your show, it might look great. You got a million views, but you know 900,000 of them were bots. And then when you publish your next video, YouTube has the machine learning then shows your content to 900,000 bots that have now been switched off. So you're giving it fake information, but
Wait a minute. Whoa. So you mean... Someone could decide. I could decide sitting here right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy views.
Yes.
To make it look like my show got 500,000 views instead of 150,000 views.
Yeah. We could do that. We could do that by 6 o'clock tonight. Yeah.
But then doing so, you're actually. You're pulling the rug out from underneath yourself.
You're stepping on your own dick. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody? I get your ego, but why would
ego? So I know a lot of guys who worked at the UFC for so long. I'm not going to mention the name. I don't want to embarrass this person, but they have Chael Sonnen envy because their channel is nothing like as well as Chael Sonnen's or Michael Bisping's, and they're like, well, I'm just going to buy views, and I begged this person not to, and I walked them through exactly why this is a terrible, terrible idea. Like, well, I've got a sponsor who's paying me 20 grand. I'm going to reinvest 10 in boosting it. I was like, it just doesn't work like that. You can't game the system. What you can do, and there's a facility on the back end of YouTube, is that if you have a 30-second promo, you could boost that. But that's basically an advertisement. That's no different from saying this Saturday on pay-per-view, you know, Hogan versus Sting at Starrcade, don't miss it. But what you can't, when you buy views for your actual videos, you are baffled. YouTube has 6 algorithms. All they do is trying the best they can every day to serve the right content to the right people. And when you add thousands of bots into it, you're giving them shit information. You're muddying the waters, whatever analogy, you're fucking yourself over.
Huh. I'll be damned. Man, I'm glad I know you. See, I might be tempted if there was something I really wanted to promote and I wanted to create the perception. I'm not going to lie. There's a part of me that would go, huh, you know, I can throw a couple bucks at this and really promote it. Make people believe that my channel is way more interesting or way more than it really is, in hopes that people will feel like, wow, everybody else likes that. Maybe I should like it too.
Yeah. There's people who have you know, sponsors, Eric, who say, well, our sponsors want to see 100,000 views or they don't pay. I get why you might be tempted to game the system there. Like I mentioned Errol Sherner at TNA, you know, what I had to do was get rid of that Indian audience. And he goes, like, and this is a disaster. You've ruined our YouTube channel. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, Ariel? He was like, the views are down. I'm like, buddy, I don't pay my gas bill with views or likes. I pay in dollars. And the dollars are through the roof. You know, and but I get there are people who are just egotists who don't get it, who are dumb, who would rather see, you know, thousands and millions of views than have thousands and millions of dollars. I would take a dollar over a view any day of the week.
All right, man. And thank you so much for the education.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your information and your knowledge with all of us here at Wise Choices. Clearly, it's a wise choice to listen to this show because there's a lot of really great information here. I'm going to get back to a couple more questions, but Ann, I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. I'll reach out to you when I'm in Vegas and let's go find a good steak somewhere.
All right. Easy. See you later.
All right, buddy. Be well. That was a fascinating conversation. Just about everything that I wanted to know about YouTube today that I had no idea about. I didn't know that one could buy views. I guess that's a difference because I've heard the term, you know, organic views versus non-organic. And I'm guessing that the non-organic part is where individuals or companies buy views to create the perception that their product is far more interesting to the audience than it really is. Wow, that's fascinating. Let's get back into some questions here before we wrap this up. I don't want to leave anybody hanging. Who do we have next, Super Dave?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Second chances, Mr. Bischoff, next time you're in Jackson, Tennessee, I'm going to Jackson. Remember that song, Johnny Cash? I love that song. Next time you're in Jackson, Tennessee, the wife and I will take you to Tequila's Restaurant, fantastic food, and I'm from Los Angeles. That's one thing I do know, my man, second chances. I never, never, ever doubt somebody that lives in L.A. or has lived in L.A. when it comes to good food. There's a lot of things I like about LA. There's a lot of things that I don't like about LA. But one of the things I like is all of the great food. Second chances, I will take you up on that, my man, next time in Jackson, Tennessee. All right. What else do we have? Ziga. I'm embarrassed at how much stock I used to put into Meltzer back when. This year alone, apparently Osprey has tripled the 5-star matches of Michaels. Yeah, I have such a hard time relating to this star conversation and who gets them and why and all that. Look, it's just a subjective opinion. I Dave Meltzer or my knee or you or anybody listening to this, we all have the right to have an opinion of what we like and what we don't like. And in the case of Dave Meltzer, if he wants to share that, you know, that's fine. So I just don't know why people make such a big deal out of it. Well, yes, I do. Wrestlers want to make a big deal out of it because if they can get a 5-star match and Tony sees it, contract for life. Maybe that's it. I don't know. For a long time, for the 30 years I've been associated with the professional wrestling business, talent has often worked pretty hard to influence Dave Meltzer because they like to see, talent likes to see their name in a good context. They want to see Dave write something good about them or come to their defense. They love to see that. So talent will feed Dave cookies and they'll pet him on the head, or maybe they'll name a wrestling move after him or do whatever they can to kind of bro him in so that hopefully, kind of just like buying views, hopefully you can create the perception that as a talent, you're, you know, more popular than you really are. That's what Dave Meltzer's been able to live off of really since as long as I've been aware of him. Any more questions floating around there? Scott Woodford. Scott, you listening? Hey, Scott! Thanks for the super chat, brother. I appreciate it. I'm willing to be TK's no man. I will tell talent no. Well, you might feel that way now. Don't envy that job, by the way. Managing talent, because they're artists. Let's be honest. This is not a criticism. It's just a reality. Creative people, in general, are a lot harder to manage than non-creative people. Because creative people, their brains work a little differently. They're not as organized, generally not as disciplined, not as focused, kind of part of the whole equation. They get distracted very easily by bright, shiny objects. I'm one of those guys. I know that feeling. It's hard for me to focus. I have to really remind myself that I'm bad at it and take the time and spend the extra effort to try to become better at it. It's just the nature of the right brain, left brain kind of conundrum. Conundrum. One more time. Conundrum. It's just a fact of life. And managing wrestling talent in particular can be very challenging, just like it can be challenging managing rock and roll, you know, bands or actors or actresses or probably freaking ballerinas. I don't know. But it's not an easy job. It seems like it would be, right? But it's not. So I do have some empathy there for Tony in that respect. All right, Super Dave, what do we got? Bluebells are blue. Dude, bluebells are blue. Huh. It's a good thing I'm not drinking today. I'd mess that up. Seriously. It'd be funny, though. Did Punk just pull the curtain back on what was already evident, in your opinion, EB? Or did he bring anything you didn't suspect to light? No, bluebells. I didn't hear anything that made me go, wow, I didn't know that. Maybe a few details, you know, with related to the fight backstage or whatever. But it's something I've been talking about for 2.5 years. Now, my perspective is different than obviously Punk's or anybody else inside the company, because I'm not inside the company. So I don't know for sure what's going on. I don't assume too much. But you hear, and you have to learn to filter what you hear too, because, you know, I don't believe everything that anybody says to me, really. But there are people that I've come to know, that I know are credible, that I've had longstanding relationships with, that I know aren't serving their own agenda, who will indicate certain things to you that, you know, gives you a little bit of an idea what's going on backstage. But primarily, I look at the product and I look at the data points. I look at Live Gate. What's the trend there? Now I'm going to be looking at their YouTube numbers going, what's the trend there? And you look at the television ratings. Another example, what's the trend there? And when you look at those trends, you look at the quality of the product, and then you are aware, not necessarily believe, but aware of a lot of the issues that you're hearing from people who are backstage, who you do believe are credible, who you don't believe have an agenda, and you kind of walk away with at least a perspective that you feel confident in, or I do. But no, I don't think Punk brought anything to light that I didn't suspect, but it was interesting hearing from him. I will say I was impressed with his candor and just the way he communicated. I was impressed with him. Thank you for the question, brother. I appreciate it very, very much. Luis, with WWE recently hitting 100 million subscribers. We just heard that. Heard Ann talking about it on their YouTube channel. Would it have been a dumb idea to consider moving their shows here, or is TV still okay? We just got done talking about that, brother. Great minds. And I know this question might have come in last week because your name looks familiar, but we just got done talking about that quite a bit. I think WWE's, you know, that $5 billion they got from Netflix, I don't think they should, you know, mess with that. I think that's just good. But Luis, we love you for your super chat. We appreciate it sincerely and glad you're here. Alberto Moreno. Do you think there's any coincidence that Tony released 10 wrestlers on the heels of Punk's comment that he is more of a friend than a boss? I'm 100% confident that that is not the case. Again, going back to tidbits of information from people who I believe are credible, who I am certain do not have an agenda, I actually heard about not necessarily cuts, but restructuring in a re-evaluation of contracts 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks before Punk came out, I'd already heard rumblings that something like this, I didn't have specifics, but not to be surprised if something like this happened. So I don't think the two things are related. I think it's just a coincidence, to be honest with you. But good question, brother. Very good question. All right, Super Dave, we got another one. Mindy Elam. Mindy Elam. I like the name Mindy, just so you know. I want to ask you, do you think you could have done the NWO with today's social media presence and kept kayfabe? Absolutely. Look, is it harder? Yes. Does it take extra steps? Yes. But it's not impossible. Here's what's impossible, it seems, is to keep people from opening their mouths. You know, you've got to have, if you've got three people in a conversation talking about an idea that you want to keep secret, you almost have to keep it to those three people. Actually, it'd be better if it was only two, because then one of you is lying. Nobody can point the fingers, right? If it were to leak. It's really not that difficult. What's difficult is the discipline and the integrity, right? And the ego management, because look, I've made mistakes like this before where I know something that's confidential or perhaps something I don't want out quite yet, creatively or whatever it is. But sometimes in my enthusiasm, I'll share something with somebody who I really believe has my best interests in mind or is a close friend or a confidant, only to have that information leak. It's my fault because I didn't impress upon that person quite the way I should have how important it was that this person not talk. But people get excited and they want to share things. That's human nature. It's not that they're bad people, but you have to really, I have to discipline. If somebody tells me something and it's really important that it's confidential, it's important that that person share that with me so I know how important it is. But then I almost force myself to forget that I've heard the information. I don't think about it subsequently after hearing it. I just don't. I try really hard not to even think about it so that I don't make that mistake. Like I said, it's human nature. Sometimes human nature is your own worst enemy, right? Ain't that the truth? Yeah. All right, one more question, and we're going to wrap this up. Billy Diaz, great podcast. I'm glad I caught this live before it ended. I'm still a huge fan and enjoyed the WCW days. I've been a wrestling fan since 92 and during the Monday Night Wars, as would many, I would watch two TVs. Thank you, brother. Billy, we really appreciate that. And then more and more I go out, I'm doing appearances, and I hear those kinds of stories and how friends would sit and watch together. Travis Midway, tell your buddy Richard, get on the stick, brother. Richard, what are you doing not going to watch WrestleMania with your buddies? That's bullshit. But Billy, I appreciate you reaching out and watching the show. Everybody here, this is becoming one of my favorite things to do every week because it's just free-flowing. It's ranting. It's raving. It's talking about the business of the wrestling business. It's just all kinds of fun, and it wouldn't be any fun if you guys weren't here. So thank you very much, and we'll do this again next week. So long, everybody.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith, right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.